Welcome to Sunday's Day with Kevin Clark. I am Kevin Clark. Jam pack Super Bowl show. JJ Watt, long form. We go deep with him. Stephen A. Smith, Justin Fields, TJ Watt, Joe Montana. Let's get to it.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, JJ Watt is here. He is with Fast Twitch, an energy drink from Gatorade. What's going on, dude?
Not too much. How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. You're local.
I am local.
This
it's
is
great.
A home game for
it's
you.
It's phenomenal. I'm just sleeping in my house at night, waking up, doing all the events, played some golf yesterday. Can't beat it.
Are we getting better at golf in retirement?
We are not. We are hoping to, but we are not yet.
So your brother was on this show 5 hours ago, 6 hours ago,
boy.
Something like that. And I said, give me something to embarrass him right off the bat. And he said he just wants to know. He wants to know for his own knowledge. How many pounds in your life have you eaten of chicken breast?
A whole lot.
A whole. That's the diet?
Oh, yeah.
Chicken breast and oatmeal.
Oh, chicken breast, oatmeal, and like white rice. I mean, I go to the store and I order about 10 pounds of chicken breast twice a week. So that's 20 pounds a week times, I don't know, how I play football. So I'm not going to do the math, but it's a lot.
Oh, my gosh. 10 pounds, that's something else. Does that diet change in retirement?
Absolutely. Okay. Thankfully. It's part of the reason I retired, is I don't want to eat any more chicken
breasts. The chickens were tapping out at that point. Yes. They're just like, this is so much.
It's honestly a big part of it, though. Like, the real reason is how much mental stress I put on myself, even in the off season, on just to be prepared, to have your body ready. I mean, I was talking to my agent earlier, like, even during downtime now, I used to be like, I got to get food in because my body needs fuel. But now I'm like, oh, I'm actually not hungry. You don't have to stuff your face.
This question was going to be later on, but that was a good seg to it. Is there something you wish the common fan knew about an NFL player's lifestyle, what he goes through to even play on Sunday most of the time? Like, if you could just communicate to the world, like, this is what an NFL player's life is like, you don't know, like, what's the one thing you teach them?
So I always open this with the caveat of, I understand how awesome the job is. I understand we get paid a lot of money to do this, and it's incredible. I do not think that they fully and truly understand what it feels like to wake up on a Monday morning. Like, I don't know anybody can describe what that feeling is like, and then how miraculous, with all the time, energy, and effort it is, by the time you get to next Sunday, you're ready again. But when you wake up on Monday morning, that is a feeling that not many people can feel.
Can you even begin to describe what it feels like? I mean, it depends on the game, obviously. It depends what you're nursing. But like, just generally, you wake up on Monday morning, you feel what? What hurts first?
It's getting out of bed and literally like standing up, and every single click, pop, crack in your joints. And then you go to walk to the bathroom, and every step, like the first step is like brutal, and then each one after that, like, all right, your joints start to lube up a little bit and you start to get going. But that's the number one thing I'm looking forward to being done with, is that Monday morning feeling.
Wow, that's great. I want to talk about F1, because we were both at the Miami GP.
Yes.
I heard, I don't know if you said this publicly, but someone from Haas told me that everybody wanted you in their paddock. Mercedes, Ferrari, you could have gone to anybody, but you said you wanted to go with Gunther Steiner and Haas because you loved Drive to Survive.
I love Gunther. He's the Drive to Survive king. I have no shame in admitting that that's how I got into F1. I wasn't into F1 before it. But yes, I wanted to see Gunther. I wanted to be on Gunther's team. He said I did okay, but I wasn't good enough to stick around and get a full-time position.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I know that was your backup plan.
It was. I saw Daniel Ricciardo this morning, actually. So maybe I can get on the Red Bull team now. I don't know, but I'm going to try out again with Gunther.
I mean, you got a full year.
He's a
reserve driver, so you guys can maybe work together, build up chemistry somewhere. Yes.
I think there's a play there. There's a play there.
There's a runway, I'd say.
But I'm going to try again for Gunther because I'm after Gunther's heart.
I mean, we got Vegas this year. You can go to that.
I've learned the American races are crazy. Like, I was talking to Danny about that this morning. Miami, you were there. I was nuts. And it was also very hot.
Extremely hot.
Very hot. So I think I'm going to try.
I'm a man who wears suits. That was a bad week.
There's not many of you left. That's an impressive.
Well, I ended up wearing shorts and then.
With a suit top? With a jacket?
No. I had to throw something together and then it was a bad day. I had skipped a couple leg days going into it. Bad Instagram posts. It was a bad weekend. Yeah. It was a quagmire. It's one of the weekends you want back.
Me too.
I mean, we got 2 months until then. So we should both start training for different things.
I didn't go to the race. I went to all the practices and the qualifying. And then I watched the race from the hotel. Cause I was like, I can't do it again. I was drained.
It's crazy. Well, it's what's crazy about F1 race. And you probably learned this. And I do an F1 podcast, but I didn't even know I'd never been to one in America. Is that someone would be like, oh, hey, I'm at this race. Like, meet me. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, cool. I'll see you in 7 hours. Oh,
it's physically impossible.
It's unbelievable. It's like being in a huge college campus.
But also through the college campus is running a river that you can't cross. So you have to like take bridges. It's bananas.
We need a helicopter.
Okay. Let's do it next year.
I think maybe you.
You fly it. I'll buy it.
You can handle that. This flows into another thing, which is that I was talking to Mark Dalton. The Cardinals PR staff this time last year, because I wanted to get you on the F1 pod. And I was joking with him and I said, you know, he's a big F1 fan. And he said, the thing about JJ is that he has so many interests that when he starts talking about something, you think it's like his main thing. And a lot of times it's like his 10th thing. It's like here's a women's soccer, obviously, you have a connection to hockey, women's hockey, all of this stuff. And it's like, you're so well versed in it.
Thank you.
Why do you have so many varied interests? I mean, I was talking to your brother earlier today and somebody brought up, because I'm an Orlando Magic fan. So one of his team.
Congratulations, Pat Beverly.
Thank you. Yeah, we're very excited in Orlando. Yeah. But, you know, someone brought up the Orlando Magic and he said, you know, I really just don't follow it that much. He likes the F1, but that's it. Like, why are your interests so varied?
Well, number one, sports just speaks to me because I love the live aspect of it. I love the human aspect of it, where it's somebody has to perform their best on that day with all the pressure. So I love that. But I think even outside of sports, I'm just fascinated by how many different things are happening in the world and how many people it takes to make each thing great. Yeah. So like, even, you know, coming up, I was really fascinated by musical artists, and I loved going to watch like a concert and a production and seeing how it all goes down. Like, I remember when I first went to a Zac Brown Band concert and I mean, he has like 11 member band and just watching how many people on stage it takes, but then also backstage and the truckers and the people unloading to see how that operation goes. It's always fascinating to me to watch like a whole thing work together for one goal, and it's special.
Is there, along those lines, like a job that you want in retirement where you're just like, I mean, obviously, I don't think you're going to go work a 9-to-5, but if you're saying like, okay, I really want to get involved in this that I haven't done before, is there something like that where you just want to be in that kind of position?
Yes, I would love a job where I have the opportunity to be involved in NFL football, EPL soccer, F1, NWSL women's soccer, the theater of some sorts, like Broadway and New York, or SNL. Like, I'd love to be involved with SNL. Also Hollywood and movies. And also spend tons of time with my wife and son.
So that's easy.
It would be great.
That's easy. Yeah. I mean, I can make a couple calls.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of money. Very little work.
Yep.
Tons of family time.
I believe you can just be a Twitter user. I believe that can cover all of
that
stuff.
That's what I do.
You just sit and you post.
Yeah,
you post, and every couple of weeks you do a sponsor post. That's where the money comes from, and all of a sudden you're an expert in everything.
Perfect.
That's just how it goes.
That's what I'm going to do.
When you retired, obviously, you mentioned the health thing earlier. You know, when anybody, I was actually talking to a guy who retired last year in another sport, and he said,
Was it Tom?
It was Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
He tried to come on the show. He tried to come on the show. We said no. He said we had Stephen A. We have Tua tomorrow.
He's overexposed.
Yeah, and when we didn't have room. We didn't have room. No, it's another sport. And he said that when you retire without a ring, that's all you think about. What would it feel like? All of that stuff. When you're sitting down and saying it's time.
Right.
Do you feel a pang of regret? Do you feel like you did all you could? And it was funny to me because the guy I was talking to said that someone sat him down and said, you know, you did win. You did win. Yeah. And you have a ring. And that could be, you know, XYZ accomplishment. It could be your kid. It could be, you know, whatever. You have trophies. Right. It's just not that trophy.
Right.
When you're sitting down and retiring, what's that process like when you're thinking about that stuff?
No, there is certainly a part of me that's like, damn, you never got a ring. You never got the championship. That is the ultimate goal. But then I had to sit down and remind myself. Somebody put it perfectly. They said, imagine if you're in fifth grade and you told yourself, you sat down, you put your NFL career on paper and you said, this is going to be your life.
Yep.
Would you be proud? Would you be proud? Would you be happy? And I said, damn right I would be. So I'm proud and I'm happy. And the way you also have to think about it is I've been in the NFL for 12 years.
Yeah.
That's 12 teams that have won. That's all. So 12 in Tom, I think, is four of them. So that means that seven other teams have won. So that means that eight teams have won a championship, and I just didn't happen to be one of eight. And it's tough. It's a team game. It's a very difficult game. But I got to live out my dream. I get to have a beautiful family and a beautiful life thanks to all these fans. So I'm very thankful.
Is there a season along those lines you'd want back? If you could play a season over again, you say, we could have gotten there. Is there a year that stands out in your mind?
I mean, I think 2012 was one of the best teams that I had for sure. I do think last year when we started out 7-0, we really had a great team and we were rolling. And then injuries and things caught up to us. But I think 2012, that team that we had, that defense that we had was really special.
Yeah, no, the era was crazy because you have the Patriots there. Yeah. They're taking wins away. I mean, it's just a tough time to be anybody but a Patriot, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. Or both Peyton Manning.
Right.
You know, I mean,
not Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They counted for a lot of Super Bowls and Eli. So,
and Eli. Yeah. Just Manning. I mean, now they're all in media. Now they're all running production companies. Yes. Do you want to be media? I mean, it sounds like, by the way, it sounds like I'm putting words in your mouth, but a lot of the sports, you could probably work for a network and contribute to some of those things.
Yeah, no problem. Can I set up a studio in my house and I'll just do each different sport from my own house?
Yes. Why don't you do like a JJ's wide world of sports?
It sounds like a lot of work. That's why.
Just Zoom. We have Zoom now.
Yes, I agree. No,
somebody else
can
go. That's
what Peyton's doing. He's just doing it from his house.
Yes,
that's
he's in Denver. Eli's in Jersey. Yeah. Eli's on the show last week. He's in a basement in Jersey.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with his kids. He's going to hockey every single day in the morning. It's fine.
He's
building an empire.
Yes.
From his basement.
Yes.
Media on the table for you?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Imminent?
Not imminent, but
okay.
Exploring.
Hardest quarterback to be a defensive lineman against? I'm leaving that wide open because it could be it's elusive, could be a guy who gets the ball out quickly, doesn't matter. The guy who just after 60 minutes just said, damn, I don't want to do that again.
Easy answer. It's absolutely Tom. He gets the ball out of his hands so fast. There's a reason he made it to age 45 is because he doesn't get hit often because he gets the ball out so fast. He knows exactly where to go with it. He knows what defense you're in, and he's going to get that ball out. And for 60 minutes, it is so frustrating because you can have the best pass rush move in the world and not get the sack and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And it's really, really frustrating.
Do you remember any play? And if it's okay if you don't, where you got off the ball, you thought you had him, and he got you?
Oh, I told him in this past game, we just played him on Christmas Day. And I mean, I had multiple of them in that game where I was right there and I literally would just be like, Tom, just hold. I cussed, but I said, just Tom, just hold on to it, man. And he refuses.
Best team you ever played against?
I mean, in whatever it was, 2018, 20, I mean, I played against obviously the Patriots teams.
Yeah,
those are unbelievable teams. I mean, the one that hurts bad for me was we were down 20, or we were up 24-0 on the Chiefs in the 2018, 2019 playoffs.
I remember.
24-0 in the second quarter, and they beat us, I think, like 51-30. That was an impressive offensive display in that second half. So those guys were very, very good.
Any again, I don't want to harp on a regret thing, but, you know, obviously the Bill O'Brien era starts going south there at the end. You know, I think we're in more of a player empowerment era in the NFL, but it's certainly never going to be like it was in the NBA. Are you glad about the way your career turned out from a team perspective, being in Houston for that long, then going to Arizona? If you could have anything over again, would you change anything?
Well, I mean, if I could do anything over again, I think you always want to try and stay with one team and win as many Super Bowls as you can with one team. That doesn't discount anything. I loved my time in Arizona. Mm-hmm. The fans here have treated me incredibly for these 2 years. I'm very thankful. And my 10 years in Houston were unbelievable. But I think everybody would love the opportunity to stay with one team for their whole career and win as many Super Bowls as you play.
So it sounds like you wish things had turned out differently for the Texans franchise.
I mean, we didn't win a Super Bowl. So, yes, I would love to have won a Super Bowl.
Take me through the musical thing, the Broadway stuff. Are you a Broadway guy?
No, I just enjoy it. I just really enjoy it. I do enjoy live theater. I've only been to one Broadway play, maybe two in my life.
Death of a Salesman.
I went to Death of a Salesman, and I'm completely blanking on the second one. But the reason I love it is because I love live performance. Mm-hmm. I've done some TV and some movies and things like mm-hmm. that. And on set, it's a lot of sitting and waiting. And then once you do perform, everything's silent. The people behind the cameras can't laugh. They can't clap. They can't do anything. I'm a football player. I'm a performer. I like to hear the crowd. That's why SNL was so fun for me, because mm-hmm. it's live. There's people. I think that's what I love about the theater, is that there's people there, and you're going to hear the cheers and you're going to hear the laughs when you crack a good joke. And I just really enjoy the live aspect.
Is there one thing you're looking forward to doing this fall? You have October and the leaves are changing. You get to do something you've never done before. What is it?
Watch my brothers play live. Yeah. I really want to watch my brothers play live, be there, experience it. And I'm also hopefully going to go to some cool college games. I'd love to go to the big college game, tailgate with the fans. Mm-hmm. I haven't got to do that. I would love to do that.
Oh, wow. A cool.
Just go tag regular
with game day.
No, that would be cool, obviously. But I just want to do the regular park in the parking lot with the fans, play cornhole and drink beer and eat brats. That's what I want to do.
Do you do that ever? Do you just kind of buy a ticket to something?
Yes, I have. I'll do it with high school games and stuff. But I mean,
that was new.
Can we continue? I mean, I feel like we just got reprimanded hard through a wall. We just got yelled at. It's coming again. It's coming. Watch. We're going to yell at.
No.
She's pissed.
I think we're okay.
I think she's pissed.
She's giving us a silent treatment.
I think she's pissed. She wants us to give her the silent treatment.
But you go to high school games sometimes?
But I mean, the problem is, you can hide somewhere and you can, but the second one person figures it out, it's over. Then it's cameras are out, then everything is around. So it's really hard.
I see it sometimes when I lived in LA, and I'm sure you can speak to this. There's a line that gets crossed as soon as one person makes a photo, because everyone's saying, I'm going to leave him alone.
Yes.
And then one person gets a photo, and then everybody says,
guy's getting 100%.
I can't not get a photo. That happens to you?
You don't blame people, because they're like, this is my one shot. I'm not going to see him again. So I don't care if I look I don't care if I'm that person, because I'm never going to see him again. And so I don't blame people for it. But yes, as soon as that wall is crossed, you're done. It's over.
You can't get a disguise. You're too big.
I'm too big. Yeah. That's the problem. A lot of my teammates and stuff are guys that are smaller, so they can just toss on a sweatshirt, some sunglasses, and... But I mean, there's not too many 6'6" ogres walking around, you know? I mean,
with you mentioned your brothers, who are also
other 6'6" ogres.
Ogres.
Yeah.
Do you see TJ being a perennial defensive player of the year candidate at this point? See that as part of your legacy? It's almost, obviously you're going to retire. There's going to be a change, mm-hmm. but you're still going to be so invested in football. You can't make a clean break from it. You're probably going to be in Latrobe for training camp. You're probably going to see him and go to Steelers games this fall. It feels like that Watt legacy is just probably going to help you stay rooted in everything going forward.
No doubt. Yeah. And I think that as long as TJ stays healthy and continues to have success, he's going to far surpass anything that I did on the field, and I look forward to watching it, because he's incredible. I'm very much looking forward to watching that and seeing him and Derek go out there and continue to do what they do.
Why do you think TJ has the opportunity to do that?
Health. I mean, there's no secret that I missed 4 seasons in the NFL. So just the opportunities that I missed, I'm hoping that he doesn't have to go through the same thing and he can go out there and put on a show for everybody.
Tell us what we're doing here with Fast Twitch.
We've got some energy, man. We've got some energy. Fast Twitch is a energy drink from Gatorade that is effective. It is something that we have in our locker rooms. It's something that the guys take, and it gives you that kick. You're going to find out. I mean, I noticed you took an extra sip.
I'm paying for this one later.
If you want to do some push-ups, if you want to run around, you're going to have the energy to do it. Thanks to Fast Twitch.
Wow. I'm just trying to keep my eyes open for Sunday.
They're going to be open until then. We're going to have a good night. I mean, we're going out after this, right? We're going to go work out.
Yeah, we're going to pound these.
And then we're going to drink Fast Twitch.
JJ Watt, thank you so much for coming on Sony's Day, man.
Thank you, man.
All right, Stephen A. Smith is here. He's here with Subway. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Kevin Durant got traded.
Yes, sir.
What do we think? Is this
going
to work?
I think that makes Phoenix the favorites in the Western Conference. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Denver's going to have something to say about it. Can't get around that. Memphis got something to do. The trading deadline is still a few hours from expiration. They got something to do. But in the end, what it comes down to is that if you got Kevin Durant, CP3, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton in your starting lineup, there is no damn excuse on this planet Earth for you to be deferring to another team within your conference as the favorite. That's unacceptable.
So I'm from Orlando, Florida, so let's talk about the other favorite in the NBA, the Orlando Magic.
Oh, Lord. Please.
Play-in?
Huh?
Play-in team?
I don't know. They got a chance. I got to tell you this. I'm a Banchero fan.
Me too.
That brother can ball. I think he's a future star in this league. I think they've got some young talent. It remains to be seen. They're not really a part of the equation yet. We don't really think about them much. That is true. But they have him. And I think that because of
him.
It, there's Capital no way to H. go but up.
Capital H, him.
That's right.
That's right.
Banchero. Yes.
You've spent a lot of time in Philly. I've been talking to Philly people all week. Are they feeling this week? Because
yes.
5 years ago was as special as anything I've ever seen in sports.
Yeah.
This is different.
This is different.
How are they processing this?
Let me tell you how it's different.
Okay.
5 years ago, you were ecstatic and excited about being here. You knew you had a chance, but you were scared as hell of Tom Brady. This year, you expect to win.
Okay.
Like, they know Patrick Mahomes is great, but Philadelphians firmly believe they have the better team and they should win this game. So that is a different feel. Last 2017 was hope.
Yes.
And ecstasy because you had gotten there not thinking you were going to be able to get there.
Yep.
Especially once Carson Wentz went down in like the 11th or 12th week of the season.
Yes.
And Nick Foles had to take over from there. But now, this year, they expect to win it.
Do you think Philly likes that, though? Do you think they want to be the bully? I think they like being
Philly
the underdog.
Philly can't be picky, man. You got to remember, they didn't get to a Super Bowl since 1980 mm-hmm. until 2004. They didn't win that one. Then they had to wait another 13 years before they got back and ultimately won a Super Bowl. And so you're looking at it from that perspective, and you're like, wait a minute. Beggars can't be choosy. We only got one Super Bowl championship in our franchise's history. We trying to get another one. We don't give a damn how we get it, whether it's hope or expectations. Whatever works.
My favorite thing that you do is laughing at the Cowboys. You do it early. You do it often. You do it as much as possible. What makes the Cowboys so funny to you? What makes their failures so laugh out loud
funny?
Has
nothing to do with the Cowboys. Has everything to do with their disgusting, nauseating fan base, which I can't stand. That's who they are. For me, I have nothing against any player on a Dallas Cowboy. I actually wish Trayvon Diggs to do well. I wish Micah Parsons, my brother, to do well. I actually wish them nothing but the best. It's their damn fans that get on my nerves. Their fans are so nauseating to me. They are just so annoying that nothing pleases me more than to watch a Cowboy fan miserable.
What is annoying about them?
What? What?
Just a question.
They can go 1-15. The Super Bowl, their season, could end on January 5th at 7 p.m. after a 1-15 record. 15 minutes later, they'll go like this. You know we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? They don't take any time to smell their own stench. They could pass gas. They'll tell you it's perfume. They think they deserve all the back pages. They walk around like they're champions. They ain't won a damn thing in 28 years. This is what Cowboy fans do. And Cowboy fans are what make you hate the Cowboys.
Wow.
It's not the Cowboys. Cowboys go out there and play football. The Cowboy fans make you hate the Cowboys because they're an entitled bunch of snobs, okay, that I absolutely positively love. And by the way, this whole Subway thing, I'm almost to the point where they don't deserve a Subway sandwich. I want to be very, very clear about that. That's how I feel about a Cowboy fan. They're ridiculous. But I'm not mad at them now because I know they're on vacation. So I'm very happy that they're miserable right now, and I don't want to rub it in any more than I have to.
Hating Cowboy fans so much that you want to go around shutting down franchises in Dallas, Subway franchises, is a level of hate that I enjoy.
It is what it is, man. I'm just not a fan of the Cowboy fans.
Our producer, Richie, just told me that Mo Bamba has been traded for Patrick Beverley.
Has he? Really? You serious? I've been sitting here with y'all. If that's true, that's not bad. I doubt it.
For who?
No, I'm saying for Patrick Beverley.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I'm saying I'm not bad. I'm saying I'm sitting here with you. I didn't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I doubt that's happened. I sincerely doubt that's happened.
I think it happened. Shams has
it. All right.
There's some buzz out there.
If the Lakers got Mo Bamba for Patrick Beverley, that's a big deal.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. Someone just tweeted it at me.
Okay.
Yeah, Shams got it.
Lakers, Rob Pelinka has done a good job this week. The Lakers have improved. They're going to make it to the playoffs, but they ain't going to be Phoenix. They're not going to be Denver. They're not going to be those two teams.
Trying to think of all the great Mo Bamba moments in Magic history.
I can't think of
any. I can't think of one. I can't think of one. This is it. This is number one. Leaving town, number one.
He did just get in a fight.
He did just get in a fight. And then also, I'm from Orlando. Austin Rivers was like, I got my guys in Orlando. That's the least intimidating thing you can possibly say. Don't mess with me. I'm the king of Orlando. Right. First of all, I'm the king of Orlando. And that doesn't get me anything. Okay. One big picture question for you. What's your favorite thing to debate? Like, if there were no cameras on and there was just you and a friend, like, what do you like debating about in sports?
Honest to God, I can tell you that I don't think like that. Whatever's percolating, whatever's in the mind's eye of the viewer, the listener, is what I pay attention to. I don't have a particular subject. I will say to you that I love discussing issue-related matters as opposed to the X's and O's, because everyone talks about the X's and O's. There's nothing different about that. What happens, happens. You discuss it and you go from there. But issues involve a potpourri of perspectives. And it gives me an opportunity to give a fresh perspective that no one else may have thought of. So I do like to attack things from those angles. But that's about it. The actual subject matter itself, I don't get caught up in it. I don't have limitations in that regard.
All right. We do a thing every episode called Club Kevin. It's our Hall of Fame. You can shout out whoever you want to shout out. If it's a TV show, if it's an athlete you like right now, it doesn't matter. You can shout out anybody in the world, induct them into our club. Who are you inducting?
Anybody
in the world.
Past, present, or whatever.
Doesn't matter.
For me, it's always Muhammad Ali first.
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali. I mean, to me, and I'll tell you why we should, in all seriousness, we should think about that in this day and age. We live in a day and age in a culture where literally you have an athlete, for example, like a Naomi Osaka and others, right? And you go through some things and you don't want to get booed. You don't want to take the heat. And we have society telling us we shouldn't be booing. Yep. Well, that's not sports. Sports, you have somebody that you're rooting for and you have somebody that you're rooting against. And it's not just your exploits on the field or court of play. It's the adversity that you face along the way that really highlights your greatness. It's what you had to endure and what you had to go through. If everybody had ideal environments and circumstances they had to work in order to get to the promised land, that's entirely different. Muhammad Ali, the reason he's considered the greatest, you got Sugar Ray Robinson, you got Sugar Ray Leonard, you got Floyd Mayweather, various others, Mike Tyson, you could point to. But the reason why he's universally recognized as the greatest is because of what he went through before he became a champion again. And that, to me, is what it's all about.
That is beautiful. That's one of the best Club Kevins we've ever had. Will you do your horoscope? When's your birthday, Stephen A?
October 14th, I am a Libra.
Wow, well, I'm a Libra too. I'm October 10th.
Okay.
What do we got here? Right here. Changes in your day-to-day call you to rebalance things. Venus flowing with Uranus gives you a sense of what fits where.
I like that. I mean, I can interpret that to mean a variety of things.
We're rebalancing. And we're just rebalancing.
I don't mind that at all. That works for me. Rebalancing, you know, looking for balance, you know, handling things in certain ways. It's cool. I like that.
I like that.
Stars aligning. Who does my star align with? That kind of thing. Worthy question.
We've rebalanced. Just we're doing Subway.
Well, listen, first of all, I'm here to level up the Super Bowl experience. Those are the words they wanted me to use. They said level up. I like the word.
Here's the script.
They got me out here in Arizona. They got me playing a trivia game this afternoon. I want to make sure. I want to run by you. I want to see if you want to play the trivia game with
Let's
me.
Go.
Right? They
Let's
got
go.
Me play. Now, if you can't be here, you can go to subway.com.
Okay.
All right. And you can play from home. I mean, it's all about that, okay? So let's go with that right now. I got this trivia question for you here. How many Defensive Player of the Week honors did J.J. Watt win in his career?
Wow. Great question. J.J.'s coming on the show a little later.
I'm going to give you multiple choice.
Okay.
3, 6, 8, or 10.
I'm going 10. There
you
go.
You got it right.
There it is.
You got it right. That's for you. Something for you and me.
All-American Club?
Something for you and me. Something for you. The All-American Club right there. You want it?
Sure. Sure.
There you go.
It's a long week, man. You got to stay.
You got to eat up.
You got to. Stephen A. Smith, he's here with Subway. Thank you so much for coming on Soul News Day, man.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Justin Fields, Chicago Bears, one of the breakout stars of the season. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. Hearing AZ enjoying my time, you know, having a blast. So,
awesome. Yeah. You're here with C4 Energy. We're going to get to that. Let's start here. Your second season was a breakout. Obviously, the Bears didn't have the success on the field for wins and losses, but you established... Let's be clear. You're him. You're the guy, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of teams are trying to figure out how to take a jump from year one to year two. What lessons do you think you learned going from year one to year two and just getting better?
Yeah, I think, I think one of the big things is really just trying to slow everything down in your mind. You know,
yes.
I think playing the quarterback position, you have to stay calm in chaotic situations. So, just in those situations where you got guys running around everywhere, you just kind of have to stay calm in the pocket and kind of just be able to operate. So I think, you know, that's the main thing for me that I had to kind of get used to and kind of adjust to. And then, of course, you know, when a play's not there, then, you know, go make a play. And I think I did that a lot this year to where, you know, we had a lot of explosive plays with that. So it was good.
How do you slow things down? I mean, I know so much of obviously is God-given and vision and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, how do you practice slowing football down when that game is so fast and everybody in the field is so fast, and you think about it, even the difference between college and pro is monumental. Like, how do you practice slowing down football?
Yeah, man, I think it just comes with experience.
Yeah,
I think, you know, the more you play, the more you're actually in the game, the, you know, more you get used to it, the more you can, you know, say maybe I was rushing a little bit here, you know, next time around you just try to stay calm in that situation or just slow it down. So I think it really just comes with experience.
I think that you're as talented as any young quarterback in football. Having said that, watching Patrick Mahomes and trying to be Patrick Mahomes, like that's a hard thing to do, right? But what do you learn when you watch Patrick Mahomes? Like, I know probably a lot of quarterbacks, if you tried everything Mahomes did, you probably couldn't do every single one of them, just like any quarterback couldn't do every single one of them. But when you watch Mahomes, you take away what?
I like the way, you know, he gets out of the pocket and kind of like, you know, does those little like just dumb yes. passes.
So TJ Watt was just on this show like an hour ago. Yeah. He said the most frustrating thing for him is that when he will wrap up Patrick Mahomes and Mahomes just be able to dump it out.
I mean, I don't think I've seen as many touchdowns as I've seen this past year on like just those little 2 yard dump passes where he's just scrambling outside of the pocket. And I mean, a guy just pops late and he just pops it open. Like, I mean, that's crazy. But I mean, he makes a lot of great plays. Of course, you know, we all know he's a great quarterback.
Is that something you're working on? I mean, obviously you're as fast as anybody at the quarterback position in the NFL, but is that something you're working on where just evading pressure, trying to get out, being able to pass out of pressure, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that just comes naturally. You know, I think I have a numerous amount of things that I have to work on before I get to, you know, stuff like that. So really just the routine stuff that I have to, you know, get more consistent with and stuff like that. So just trying to work on that right now.
I don't think so. Obviously you're a star in college, one of the best recruits in the country. You and Trevor Lawrence were going back and forth there in the rankings for a long time. Trevor was on this show on Monday, and we talked about it a little bit. But I don't think we know a lot about you, the person, the personality. Let's start here. Let's do some quick hits. Favorite TV shows of all time?
Favorite TV shows of all time? I'm actually a big TV show watcher. I'd have to say Money Heist is definitely in my top three. I know it's not spoken in English, but you know, with the English voiceover. But sure. I think that was one of my, you know, top shows for sure on Netflix. And another one that I really enjoyed was Wednesday. I'm watching BMF right now. That's a good one that I'm enjoying. So, I mean, I've watched so many shows.
Did you say Wednesday?
Wednesday, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
what do we like about Wednesday?
I mean, I didn't think I was going to like it at first, but okay. I mean, it was different. And I think, you know, just everything with it, like just the setting of it was different. You know, you really don't get shows like that nowadays. So just kind of seeing that different setting was really cool.
Can we do the Wednesday dance next year?
Ooh, I don't know if anybody can do that dance. She might have mastered that one, but I mean, we might see it in the end zone. You never know.
All right. What else? Like movies, that kind of stuff. Like what is it off day for Justin Fields look like?
Yeah. I mean, kind of like you said, like, especially during the season, I kind of like to chill. Like watch TV shows or movies. But my favorite movie, and I think this is just because I read the book. I didn't read too many books growing up, but I think this is because I read the book. My favorite movie would have to be The Great Gatsby. So
wait, which Great Gatsby? The DiCaprio?
Yeah. That's
I love that book.
One of my favorites.
That's a great book. That's a great. What did you read it like in high school?
I read it in seventh grade. They made us read it, and like I said,
it's a little early for Gatsby.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they didn't. I didn't read many books growing up. I read, you know, a few Diary of a Wimpy Kids and stuff like that. But I mean, that was the first like intellectual book that I read, you know, growing up. So I think that's another reason to why, you know, that movie is, you know, on the top of my list,
bro. Sure. That I'll tell you, that's a stylish movie. You watch that movie and you just want to start wearing like tuxedos everywhere. Nah, like
definitely. Nice. Came in
it's
with
nice.
Swag for sure.
You played the Eagles this year. The defense, and this is something your former recruit compatriot Trevor Lawrence talked about, the defense is so fast it almost changes how you play the position. Like the Hassan Reddick coming off the edge changes your internal clock.
Yeah.
Take me through what it's like to face a defense, I think third most sacks in history, I think it was this year. And it comes from every single angle. Take me through that front and how nasty they are.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. And not only is their front crazy, they're deep too. So, yeah. I mean, they have guys, you know, rotating in. You know, you got guys like Ndamukong Suh, you know, coming in second, third down, fresh legs and ready to rush the quarterback. But, you know, the thing about what makes them so great is that one is that, and then of course they have very talented players across the board. So it's not like, you know, you can just game plan for one guy and, you know, have the running back go to him or have the slide go to him every time. They have guys, you know, all across the, you know, line. So, of course, you might have to, you know, have tight end stay in and chip or something like that. But, you know, just game planning of them. And like you said earlier, just kind of speeding up that internal clock, knowing that, you know, Hassan Reddick is probably one of the best pass rushers in the league right now, to where, you know, he's going to get back there, you know, if you hold that ball on too long. So, but yeah, I mean, just being able to get the ball out fast and, you know, when it's not there, being able to make plays and stuff like that.
Is there the Bears franchise? I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know, has missed on quarterbacks in the past and they've missed on Mahomes as a good example. I think Mahomes was talking the other day about how he thought he was number one quarterback on the Bears board a couple years ago. Obviously he was not.
Mm-hmm.
When you come into a situation like that, when you show early promise and Bears fans are so excited, you feel an extra responsibility because it's the Bears, because they haven't had a great quarterback in a number of years?
Nah. I mean, in all honesty, it's not my fault that they, you know, haven't had a franchise quarterback. But, you know, I would say to that is that my expectations are, you know, I think they're higher than, you know, what, you know, any fan out there has, you know, for me. So I want to be the best I can be. And I think, you know, the amount of success I wanted to bring to our team, to this organization to our city is, you know, greater than, you know, I think anyone expects. So it's no added pressure at all, because, you know, I want to be the best I can be and I know how great I can be. So, yeah.
What have you learned about Chicago, the sports town, just like the fans? Like what, when you get stopped on the street, they say what?
They're passionate. Yeah. I mean, you know, and one thing about them, they're going to, you know, show up and, you know, cheer on their Bears, you know, no matter what our record is. Of course, we didn't have the best record this year, but I mean, late in the season, they're still showing up to games where it's, you know, feeling like negative 15 degrees outside. So, you know, just having that support from them has been awesome. And, you know, just really, you can call them the best fans in the world, because, I mean,
best fans in the world.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely been awesome for sure.
We'll do some quick hits here. First one. Was it annoying to see reports that, like, not reports, but, like, people saying that you might get traded to get the first overall pick? Like, when you see that stuff, how do you even process that? Keep scrolling?
I think it just comes with it, you know, the position we're in. You know, the media nowadays, they have to talk about every scenario. So, like, just knowing how the media works, you know, how they're just going to want clicks and stuff like that, you kind of just have to be real with yourself. And
come on,
I mean,
media.
If, you know, if those rumors were true, it's just, I mean, that's not going to change how I work. That's not going to change how I, you know, train for the game, practice for the game. So just focusing on, you know, the controllables and stuff like that. I mean, if I did were to get traded, this and that, you know, I couldn't control that. The only thing that I can control is, you know, how I play, how I lead, and, you know, how I, you know, carry myself. So
what's next in your development this offseason? If you're working on one thing, it's what?
I would just say more consistency on the, you know, shorter throws. I think just the gimmies and stuff like that, you know, sometimes I, you know, might be tired from a run. So conditioning is going to be one big thing. And then really just keeping the, you know, mechanics and not getting lazy with those throws.
Tell us about C4.
Yeah, I mean, C4, been partnered with them for a couple of years now. Great drink. And when I tell you, every time I have a workout, every time I have a practice, I usually drink one. And, you know, whenever I'm feeling, you know, a little bit tired, I'll have one, and it gives me the right amount of juice, you know, keep me going, and, you know, gets the most of me out of my workouts, and it helps me, you know, finish those workouts or whatever I'm doing.
Justin Fields will not be doing the Wednesday dance this season.
I will not be doing the Wednesday
dance.
He
will not be doing it.
Unless I learn it and get really good at it. So we'll see.
It's a long off season, buddy.
It is. That's what I'm saying.
Justin Fields, thanks for coming on to Wednesday, man.
Appreciate you, sir.
Appreciate you. All right, TJ Watt, one of the best players in football, is here with Invisalign. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing well, man.
I have a lot to get to. Number one is, in about 5 hours, I'm interviewing your brother, JJ, off-site. He couldn't make it. He couldn't make it to this room. We have to go to a private room, they said.
I'm staying at his house, and I made it. So, yeah, I made the commitment for this show today.
I didn't know we had diva behavior going on.
Hopefully, he's eating a full meal beforehand. Otherwise, he's going to be pretty grumpy.
I want to get to that, JJ and all that stuff. But I want to start with this, about this game. You've gone against Patrick Mahomes. You forced an interception on Patrick Mahomes. You've pressured him. Is he an annoying runner? Like, I'm looking at this photo here, and it just seems like there's very few people who run like he does. It's not like he's blazing fast, but he can always get away from guys. We've seen those runs down the sideline where he just knows how to move. What is it like to follow that guy around?
Yeah, I think he's just very aware.
Yeah,
he's very comfortable with his offensive line. You can tell that they work together a lot on how deep he can drop, where he's flushing to. And then his eyes are always downfield. Like you say, whether he's spinning around, he's always looking downfield. And then you always have to tackle the football.
Right.
You see a lot of times, I mean, it's kind of across the league now, but he's kind of one of the guys that you think about most is, if you get him around the legs or even his left side, he's going to try to just flick the ball out and get rid of it. And nothing is more frustrating as a pass rusher is when you feel like you have the quarterback in the grasp and he gets rid of it.
That seems new to me, because I feel like when we were growing up watching football, it was like, if you sense pressure, you just kind of hunker down and you don't want to fumble. Like, it seems like Mahomes has started something. I have Favre did it a little bit. Some of those guys who try to improvise, but it seems like everybody's trying to do the Mahomes where even if you're wrapped up, they're just kind of flicking it. That seems like it's catching on.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense too. If you have a guy in the area, it's just an incomplete pass. It's not like it's a fumble or a pitch of any sort. But these guys are strong, man. I know quarterbacks don't always get the best rap for being strong and lower body strength, but a lot of these guys are really tough to get down. And if you don't think so, I'd like to see you try.
I have a question for you, and I just brought it up here. It's an Adam Schefter tweet about your contract extension that you overruled your agents, and then you said you had a deal, and then you went to go work out. That's it. We'll bring it up. Did this happen exactly like it unfolded here in this tweet?
It wasn't like a it was a normal Thursday, I think it was, or Tuesday, okay, or Thursday, whatever. It was a normal day where I work out. So it was one of those things where you, the deal came in, it was done. Then I went down and I had to finish my day. It's like, I'm not going to treat it like a normal day as well. So I had to work out. So it wasn't as dramatic as it was let out, I guess.
So you didn't go in, say, we have a deal to Mr. Rooney.
And I'll sign it after I get this workout done.
And then you flipped over his table. You just started throwing stuff against the wall.
It wasn't like that. It was a very polite, thank you very much, sir. I'm going to go downstairs and take care of it.
Having said that, you will eventually sign another contract, probably with Pittsburgh. And, you know, the floor is open for you to do something like that, to start throwing things, you know, work out. Maybe you could bring the workout bench into the room with Mr. Rooney and just
meet me in the weight room.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can sign it in the weight room. We can sign it in the weight room. Hopefully
we have another opportunity at it.
I think you're doing okay here. All right, let's talk about JJ because he's going to be on this show in 5 hours. Give me something embarrassing about JJ Watt.
Just ask him about his diet. The guy has eaten so much, ask him how many chicken breasts he's eaten in his life, and I'd honestly want to know the answer. Either the amount of chicken breasts or the weight of chicken breasts in his life. Because chicken breasts and oatmeal are the things that guy eats the most of.
He also likes too many things. I'm going to give you an example. I tried to get him on a Formula One podcast, and Mark Dalton, who works for the Cardinals, was like, the thing about JJ is that when you listen to him talk about anything, you think he's like a super fan of something.
Yeah.
But it turns out he just likes everything. So like you'll talk about like women's hockey with him and he'll be like, this guy's obsessed with women's hockey. And then it turns out that's like one of his 15
soccer,
things.
Yeah, Chelsea, soccer. He's F1.
He's just got too many interests.
Yeah.
It's good thing he's retiring.
I mean, I've tried to get into many things like that as well. Like he'll get into Chelsea soccer or whatever, and I'll try to watch a game, and then he'll Formula One. I'm actually into Formula One, but
me too.
If it's something else, like curling or something, I'm like, I'll try it, but it never sticks. Like it seems to stick with him. I don't know if he actually watches these things or if he just leads on like he does.
Give me a story, because I think with Mike Tomlin, I think we all, I mean, I saw it on the Pivot podcast. I don't know if you listened to it last year, where he basically talked about leadership and how if you know, his whole theory on leadership is that if he hates when coaches say this guy can't be taught or this guy can't learn or whatever, because if everybody came fully formed, we would need less coaches, which I thought was a really interesting way to look at Coach Tomlin. And you sort of see that. I've been at many training camp practices out in La Trobe. It's one of my favorite places to be. And you sort of see the Tomlin experience and what it looks like and how close everybody is. And I'll give you an example. Mike, who I'm sure you know, on the PR staff. Mike,
my guy.
Yeah. So Mike Tomlin, one of the cornerbacks was calling for Mike, your guy, and not Coach Tomlin. And Mike Tomlin says, yeah, what's up? And the player said, no, not you. I wouldn't call you Mike. And Mike Tomlin goes, you can call me Mike. We're just two grown men doing a job.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm sitting right there. I'm like, oh my God, that was perfect. Give me a Coach Tomlin story that explains to the layperson why he's great.
I think every year we come into training camp, the number one thing that he always says, I don't care by what means you got here. You have an opportunity to make this team. Yeah. You have an opportunity to make an impact. And I think that's the coolest thing for a lot of young guys to hear, because there's so you always hear about the stories of these undrafted rookies or these guys that have been on practice squads for three, 4 years, and then they have cracking the roster, and then they end up having a phenomenal career. I mean, I remember Mike Hilton came in with me, and now look at the career that guy's having for himself. He truly treats each and every guy like they have a chance to make it. And a lot of places, it's not like that. The door is closed before you even get in. And he's just a phenomenal motivator and a coach that I love playing for.
I've heard, you don't have to confirm this, I've heard when you sign a second contract in Pittsburgh, he kind of tells you, you're going to hear the same stuff you heard the last 4 years. You kind of recirculate. He plays the hits with a lot of the speeches and kind of says, hey, you're a veteran now. Just so you know, you might hear some of the same speeches.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not broke, why try to fix it?
That's exactly
honestly,
right.
I mean, to cut your eyelids off, to fit 8 pounds in a 5 pound bag, all the sayings that come along with it. But when you really break them down and the way that he presents them in a meeting, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And all these different analogies are ways to relate to guys, because some guys take messaging a lot differently. So to be able to have a bunch of different ways to get it across isn't always a bad thing.
Corey McConnell wants to know if Kenny Pickett's the guy.
Kenny Pickett's the guy, in my opinion. I'm a believer in the guys in our locker room, and I feel very confident in Kenny Pickett.
That infrastructure there is so amazing to me, because you see people, I mean, you're there in Latrobe and it's, you know, ex players. It's the same. You see pictures from training camp 1976. Yep. It's the same stuff. You hear stories about how the media access in Latrobe used to literally be in the, up until the 90s, I think, just knocking on dorm room doors.
That would suck.
Some of the old timers have told me that. It just seems like they do a good job of integrating. I mean, a lot of times before you came, Mike Tomlin didn't even like playing rookies, but it seems like they do a good job of player development. And I'm curious, for a young player, like, what specifically, so many teams are trying to crack that code. Mm-hmm. How do you develop young players? How do you get them in the system? What do they do that you think works? And obviously you weren't anyplace else, but what do you think they do that helps the player development of the young guy?
I think it's a locker room thing more than anything, honestly. It's having older guys that aren't jealous of younger guys coming in who could potentially be taking their job. And a lot of that comes from being comfortable with who you are in your spot. You're not going to help a guy out if you think he's going to take your job. And I think we have a lot of older guys who are very comfortable. Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, me, myself on the defensive side of the ball, we want to win, man. Yeah. It's hard to win. And we know these young guys need to be brought up to speed as quickly as possible. And they're talented as heck, man. Look at a guy like George Pickens, a guy that, you know, you need to help us win games. There's no time to hide information from or not want to see him grow.
Yeah, I would not hide information from George Pickens. I would let that go. Real quick before we get to the last few things we do, this Eagles front is so nasty. Third most sacks in history, if I'm not mistaken. We had Trevor Lawrence on the show yesterday. I confuse my days now. So it's all one big blur.
Yep.
But he's saying Hassan Reddick just changes your calculus as a quarterback. You can't even think in the same way you normally do because Hassan Reddick is in your face immediately. What impresses you about the Eagles defensive line and just how quickly they get upfield?
It's from all areas.
Yeah.
It's the inside push and it's the edge rush. I mean, when you have that combination, usually teams only have one or the other.
Yeah.
And you have a guy on one side and the other side. With this, it's literally the whole front. I mean, Javon Hargrave has had a hell of a season this year. He's put together a great career, a guy that we played together in Pittsburgh. Then you got to talk about the edge rushers as well. So it's coming from all over the place. And when you have to get the ball out that quickly, it messes with your reads, and then you have to check down and try to throw screens. And the thing about them is those guys are so agile that they'll even destroy the screens as well.
Yeah. Tell us where you're doing with Invisalign.
Yeah, so I'm working with Invisalign. I've been working with them for the past couple of months to get my teeth right. A lot of guys in the locker room have Invisalign and brace as well. With Invisalign, you don't have the emergency appointments and all those things. And I get to wear my mouth guard with them. I pop them out, have a snack. If I'm at Jada's house, I'll have a chicken breast.
Huge. There's a huge stack of chicken. Just kind of grab it from the pile.
It's been awesome, though. So I come on shows like this. I feel happy and confident with my smile.
That's so great to hear. TJ Watt, thanks for coming on the show today, brother.
Thank you, man.
All right, one of our favorites, Joe Montana, is here. One of the best players in the history of football is here with Guinness. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not a lot, man. Trying to manage the bizarre atmosphere all the time. But yeah, just here with Guinness. And
what annoys you the most? What question annoys you the most in these things?
What do you think of Tom Brady's retirement? I said, didn't he retire once already?
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, everybody was, my editor was like, hey, do you want to weigh in on Tom Brady? I'm like, I did this last year. I weighed in on this last year.
That was my answer, too.
I'm going to retweet what I did last year. Please refer to my notes where I talked about this last year. And now he's not even going to be in broadcasting until next year. So we just have a gap year. He might come back.
He might come back again.
He might come back. I don't know. Question about Patrick Mahomes. First thing is, this is his third Super Bowl now. Does the Super Bowl get easier for a quarterback? Like, I know there's logistical things where it's, you learn how to deal with a ticket request, you learn how to deal with the neutral site practice, the media, that stuff. But does it, by the time you're in your multiple Super Bowl phase, does it actually feel like another game?
Once a game gets going, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing to, like, you hit all the big points. It's tough for the first time when people go, dealing with the tickets and rooms and, oh, can you get me into this party? Can you get me into this restaurant? Those are the things. Jennifer, my wife, did just a tremendous job with taking all that pressure away. So I think it's easier that side of it. It's the excitement's always the same,
right?
For the quarterback, for any of the players. So is it a little bit of an advantage, probably? But once the game gets going, you know, you have so much to concentrate on. You don't start thinking about it. I think when it really comes into play is when it comes down to the end of the game, closer to the end of the game, when you know somebody's winning, somebody's losing, then you start thinking more about, oh, dang, either I just won the Super Bowl or I just lost the Super Bowl.
So I've been thinking about that because someone was telling me the other day, like, losing the Super Bowl absolutely sucks. And it, like, can ruin not just a year, but, like, it can weigh on you for a decade. When you're making a play, whether that's a drive against Cincinnati, whatever, are you actually in the moment thinking, like, my legacy is on the line here? Because it'd be hard not to.
No, not at all.
I guess that's why we're different.
Yeah, it just makes. I mean, you have so much on your mind and the things that you're about to do, right? You know that might be the last time you have the ball, but you're not worried about. In that drive, people always forget. Well, we scored a touchdown, but we only needed a field goal to tie. So initially, we're thinking, okay, we just got to get in field goal position, and then once we got there, quickly because of Jerry Rice,
right?
We started looking for touchdown.
So you were just showing off.
No, I was just doing what I was taught to do.
Score touchdowns.
Throw the ball to somebody else.
Sorry, Cincy. Sorry, guys. Yeah. When you know, I always love asking great quarterbacks about Mahomes because there's things I'm not going to notice, we're not going to notice, that you're going to notice about the way he just plays the position. What does Mahomes do that? What does Mahomes do that kind of impresses you as just a technician, tactician, someone who just understands the nuances of quarterback play that blows you away?
Well, I think at a young age he really has control of the game, you know, and both in the pocket, which is I think the most important part, but the things that he does outside the pocket, there's a lot of guys who get outside the pocket, but the way he does it, the nice thing for me is he's my wife's favorite player. So when the Chiefs are on, I know I'm going to get to watch the whole game. I'm not going to get forced to go somewhere.
That's amazing. That's a good one. So you've seen a lot of Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, I have.
I love Bill Walsh. I'm not a Niners fan, but I love, like, the Score Takes Care of Itself is the best. You can barely call it a football book because it's about life.
Yeah.
But just studying him and watching some of his tapes and his lectures, it's really incredible. What's something that maybe Bill Walsh taught you that isn't out there as something that's kind of a dominant narrative? What's something that you wish maybe more people understood about Bill Walsh?
He was a perfectionist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it comes across in the book as much, but he really demanded perfection from the team.
Yeah.
But more so from the quarterback. I think he lived his life through the quarterback's eyes, you know? So he really, though he never, you know, he didn't play the position.
Yeah.
He had a great feel for it and understanding. And he would draw up plays that in practice were like insane.
Yeah.
And we're going, and they never work in practice. And you get the signal of the play, and I get in the huddle and go, okay, guys, here we go. And they go, no. And then you call the play, and it's all wide open. And it was crazy. Like, we just watched, I think it was the 49ers. They ran this play where they fake a screen to one side, fake a screen to the other side, then hit the tight end down the middle for a touchdown. That's a drawing in the dirt Bill play called fake double screen, wide check middle.
Oh, my God.
Tight end blocks and blocks and blocks, and you fake two screens, and the linebackers go that way, and tight end sneaks out and touchdown.
That is so great. Let's fix the 49ers real quick. I mean, not fix. Again, they got to the NFC Championship game. They ran out of quarterbacks. Joe, I think if they lost, like, two more quarterbacks, they may have called you at some point. But it obviously, to get over the hump is something that is on everybody's mind right now. What steps should they take?
Well, I just think it's, I mean, you just look at, I saw this morning that Purdy's getting surgery on the 22nd. Yeah. So, and they're saying that's a 6-month process.
Yeah.
If everything goes well.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you do in the meantime? You have to protect the team. You got a Super Bowl caliber team.
Right.
I'm not sure how you can get rid. I don't know. I don't hang out by the 49ers. So, you know, this is just my thought process. You got to have someone who can step in and know he can play right away for that first part of that season in case Purdy doesn't make it back. I think he's the starter if he's healthy. But if he's not, and it takes another month or so, you got to have somebody in there. And Jimmy has proven it.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, he gets hurt a little too much.
Quite a bit,
but you know, if he's in the game, he, you know, he'll do some of the right things.
So the solution in September for you is not Trey Lance.
I don't think he's ready yet. I think that was evident. But it's not. It's honestly great kid, great athlete, great ability. I'm just not sure that he's in the right offensive system. I think he fits like a Philly system more than he does, you know, where there's a lot more run option stuff. That's what he did in college. Playing in the pocket's a completely different game. I know he played in the pocket a little bit in college, but when guys turn and look at the sideline, the quarterback, they're telling you everything. They're telling you where to throw the ball. They're telling you the coverage. And so when you get there, it's the wrong time to try to figure out, how do I throw in the seams, in the holes? And not saying that he can't do that, but it's a comfort thing too. And I don't know. For myself, you know, I was hardly a Jimmy fan early on when he first came, because there wasn't a lot of success from guys who came from behind successful quarterbacks right in the league. And I think we might have talked about this.
I think we did. I think some people watched that one.
Yeah, but you know, he wins games. You know, he's winning games for them. So until they figure out with Purdy how he's going to be, I think you have to keep him for now. Unless they got something else up their sleeve they're not telling someone. The people
maybe,
that might fit.
Maybe. It's There's hard some famous find. People out there who might be.
Yeah, but you still have to learn a system.
Okay, yeah.
Right? No matter how and guys that are going to be out there, can they come fit in that system?
Do you think Aaron Rodgers would want to fit in it? I mean, LaFleur and
Shanahan. I don't know. We have to wait till he comes out of the dark. Let's figure out what he's going to do.
Tell us what you're doing with Guinness.
Yeah, we're doing, you know what? They have this great program first of all, we brought on a new teammate, another Joe Burrows, onto the Guinness team.
Joe Burrows.
Yeah, and he and I are out there helping with the promotion of the Guinness $1 million pledge. So okay, we're asking people to log on to givesback.guinness.com. And pledge 10 hours of community service to help out their community and help us reach that $1 million number.
Joe Montana, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, man. Good to see you. And also, there's a lot more to come from us, because right after this big game, there's another big date coming called St. Patrick's Day. So look out for us somewhere, wow. Joe and I.
Let's get after it. Me, you, and Joe Burrow, we'll meet up.
Yep. All righty.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.